my pleasure. And that today is Friday to welcome the man that I think is the most courageous, the best informed, most important spokesperson in the world today, because he is the foremost expert on Islam and the connection between Islam and terrorism. His name is IQ Al-Rasuli. He has written a series of books called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. Hello, IQ. Oh, let me bring you up live, IQ. That was my fault. We now have you live. I forgot to operate the switchboard. Hello, IQ.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, but there's a lot of people that are suffering on this day. Is Kenya a Christian country or primarily a Christian country or primarily an Islamic country?
Most of it is Christian.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Somalia, its neighbor, is about 98% Islamic, right?
Correct.
Is Al-Shabaab a Somali organization and an Islamic organization?
It's an Islamic, 100% Quran-obedient Islamic organization.
Okay. So the people in Kenya, for the most part, are Christian. And yet, 147 of them were slaughtered today by Al-Shabaab.
Yeah, most of them were Christian. They selected them.
Yeah.
They used the Nazi style of selection. They separated the students who were Christian from those who were Muslim and murdered the Christians.
147 of them.
Yeah.
So here's this Christian country with Christian students going about their lives, going to school, actually trying to learn something. This was in a college. And Muslims armed not with books, carrying AK-47s and suicide bombs. Walked into school. The Muslims did that with the suicide packs, didn't they?
Sorry, I nearly interrupted you. But Muslims don't carry books. Muslims do not read books. Muslims read only the Quran. And only the Quran. And that's not a book.
Yeah. In fact, Boko Haram means books are forbidden, right?
Yes.
The Islamic group in Nigeria, terrorists in Nigeria, which is also a Christian country, their very name means books are forbidden, just underscoring Boko, books, Haram, forbidden.
Correct. But Muslims don't read books. The majority of them read the Quran. And there's nothing in the Quran which is decent, not an iota.
Yeah, you know, I would challenge you on that. I'm not even sure the majority of Muslims read the Quran. I think that majority of Muslims are incapable of reading the Quran because most of them will carry the Quran in the religious Arabic, which is as different from modern standard Arabic as Latin is from Italian. And so they may be mouthing the words, but they haven't got a clue what it says other than what they're told.
So that makes them even worse than what I was talking about.
Oh, it does. Oh, it makes them worse. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they can't even read the only book that they care about.
They hate education.
Right.
They hate educated people because they're jealous of educated people. Right. And the most remarkable thing that I repeat and you repeat also, that we in the 21st century, the most persecuted people on the planet, are Christians, who are the most powerful group of people on planet Earth.
Yeah, I'm not a Christian, as you know, but Christians are the most persecuted because they are hunted by the second largest religion on Earth. This one. You know, in fact, the Quran, it's interesting. Now, the Quran is more anti-Jewish than was Hitler's Mein Kampf. Considerably. I mean, the Quran is a vastly more anti-Jewish, anti-Israel book than was Hitler's Mein Kampf. But in the Quran, starting with the ninth surah and then concluding with the fifth surah, which were the last two that Muhammad provided, the enemy of Islam changes from Jews to Christians. Most people are unaware of that. Can you tell our audience why Muhammad in the ninth surah and the fifth surah, the last two of the Quran chronologically, why Muhammad had to change the principal enemy of Islam from being Jews to being Christians?
Because he exterminated the Jews of Arabia. And he was facing the Christians outside Arabia.
Right.
So he had to incite or give purpose to fight to his followers.
Right.
So he changed the tune to suit.
Right. In fact, the terms that I use, and I don't think he would challenge this, he overhunted Jews. He robbed as many, he robbed, raped, and enslaved every Jew that was in a camel ride of Mecca and Medina. He overhunted them. They were no longer available as prey. So
they
had to switch to Christians.
Correct. That's exactly what he did. Made to order revelations. Every single verse in the Quran is a made to order revelation that Muhammad created and said it was revealed to him by the angel Gabriel through his God Allah. And Allah, of course, is not the same as the God of the Bible.
No. In fact, Allah is Muhammad.
Allah is Muhammad, 100%. And there is not a single human being on planet Earth and no intelligent life outside the solar system who can debate you or me and win.
No, I'm not on that point. In fact, not on any point related to Islam. Because it turns out that there is no distinction between Muhammad's wishes and Allah's wishes. Muhammad's understanding and Allah's understanding. Allah is every bit as stupid as Muhammad.
Exactly, and the hadith keep repeating again and again in thousands of verses that his followers said to him when he asked him a question, only Allah and his Rasul know the answer. So Allah is the same as the Rasul, and the Rasul is the same as Allah.
And Rasul in Arabic and English would mean?
The messenger of Allah.
Correct.
Which is supposed to be Muhammad.
Yeah, Muhammad. Yeah, so would Kenyans, would 147 Kenyans be alive today if they had followed our advice, which is the only way to deal with Islam is to recognize that it's a criminal enterprise and that it has to be quarantined?
They would have been alive. And many of other people, in fact, over 30 to 40,000 Christians who have been exterminated in the last few years, would have been alive.
So by being this presumption of merciful and tolerant and the and liberal mindset and of accepting Islam, even promoting Islam, even touting the virtues of Islam, these liberals have actually aided and abetted Muslims murdering more than 30,000 Christians just over this last year.
Yes, and they are more criminal than the Muslims.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because they are the criminals from within the system.
Yeah. Well, I think they're more criminal.
They are not only aiding and abetting. Yeah. The Muslim is at least honest enough to tell you that I'll kill you if you don't become a Muslim. And they said it for 1400 years with Muhammad. Yeah. But those liberals are trying to tolerate the intolerant.
Right.
It is impossible to coexist with somebody who is intolerant.
Correct. I'm not a fan of the Talmud, but that's one of the Talmud's most famous statements that you just cited. Now, in this regard, you literally have those who will wrap themselves up in tolerance and peace and enlightenment that are aiding and abetting 99% of the world's terrorist acts today. But the reason both of us would call them worse, if you were born in an Islamic country, are you going to get any viewpoint other than Islam?
No chance in hell.
Right.
Because the instant they are born,
right,
verses from the Quran are recited into their ears.
Right.
They grow up in a family which is Islamic.
Right.
In a state which is Islamic. They read books about Islam. They read the Quran. The media are completely and utterly Islamic. How is it possible for such a human being to be other than Islamic?
Okay. So your point would be, and this is the point that I made at the preface of Prophet of Doom, that Muslims were the first victims of Islam. They're victims.
Absolutely.
Of the religion.
Absolutely.
And, but in the West, don't all of those idiots like the Abominator, who speak favorably about Islam and lie constantly about it and lift it up, don't they have access to the truth?
Yes, but the Abominator, you have to give him an excuse. He is a Muslim.
Yeah.
So he is using taqiyya to expand expand Islam into the land of the infidels, which is America. It is the other people who are not Muslim, our leaders in the West, our leaders in the CIA, the FBI, in the military,
right.
They are all completely and utterly out of touch with reality.
In fact, I would say they're counterproductive. They're working against our interest by lying on behalf of Islam, and worse, by constantly trying to undermine Israel while supplying hundreds of billions of dollars of our most advanced weapons to Muslims. They're working against America's safety and security.
Definitely. Look, the utter insanity of our leaders vis-a-vis Islam never stops. Take Obama and Iran, which we are going to discuss anyway. Israel is not the only one against his embassy deal with Iran.
So who is the most outspoken? Who is the most outspoken country in terms of this moronic deal, we'll put that in air quotes, with Iran?
Saudi Arabia.
You got it. Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has said because of this.
Saudi Arabia, Jordan, the Gulf States, and Pakistan, all of them. And for the first time in 66 years, the Jews, the Arabs, and the Muslims are on the same side of history against Obama.
Yeah, against Obama. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Another question I would like to ask you, maybe you can tell me. Mm-hmm. Iran is producing ICBMs.
Yes.
Intercontinental ballistic missiles are not needed to hit Israel, which is near to Iran.
Right.
At whom will these ICBMs going to be directed? That's what I want to ask.
Oh, the answer is easy. Europe. And secondarily,
Russia,
if they develop greater range, the range currently is they can hit London, which means they can hit all of Europe.
Correct.
And so at this point, the answer is all of Europe. And someday, the United States.
No question about it.
Now, when...
But I guess Israel.
I want to ask you seriously.
You don't create ICBMs to hit Israel. You don't need to. The rockets that they already have can reach Israel automatically.
Do you know what fissile purity uranium has to be enriched to run a nuclear power plant?
To make atom bombs.
Yeah, no, but do you know what the fissile purity of uranium is that is used in a nuclear power plant?
4%.
It's 4%. The uranium that the Iranians have is all above 20%. We'll speak about that and the Obaminator's timeline in a moment. IQ, as you know, the Iranians and the press who touts their message say that they are only in the enrichment of uranium business for peaceful purposes to generate electricity. So just to defuse that concept, I would ask you, what nation on earth sits on the largest reserves of natural gas that isn't even sold, is burned off in the atmosphere because it's easier to transport their liquid petroleum?
Iran.
Iran. Yeah. What is the, in Iraq, which is now Iran West, substance that's freely available on the earth is the cleanest and most efficient means to boil water?
Oil.
Well, yeah, natural gas. Even natural gas is actually better than oil.
Excellent.
I know they're related, but natural gas is even better than oil. The Iranians have so much oil, they have not invested in the liquefaction of natural gas that is necessary to transport it, that, for example, Qatar has done. They just burn it off. So if you wanted to create electricity, isn't the primary means to create electricity boiling water?
Correct. Yes.
What does a nuclear plant do to create electricity?
Make turbines and steam.
Steam. They boil water, right? Nuclear part of a nuclear power plant only does one thing. It's there to boil water.
Correct.
And Iran sits on a vast ocean of unused natural gas, which is a vastly more efficient means to boil water, right?
Correct.
So if you're the Iranian government and you want to generate electricity that, you know, 10 times more electricity your country can even use and you want to export it, wouldn't you just simply start using rather than burning off the natural gas?
Of course.
Boil the water.
But they have no intention of using their energy from nuclear right. power.
So why doesn't the press say this notion that they're trying to for peaceful purposes? Why don't they just say that's nonsense? Because they sit on an ocean of natural gas, and that's a vastly more efficient means to boil water.
But everybody who knows the subject knows they are lying. Our Western leaders are not too stupid. They're not stupid.
They're
know.
Evil. Yeah, they're evil. They're not stupid. They're evil.
That's the answer. They're evil.
Let's go on the nuclear side. Just pretend you didn't know all of that. 4% physical purity is what you run a nuclear plant on. Anything more than 4% physical purity, and the plant blows up as opposed to boils water. What's interesting is that all of the Iranian uranium assets are at 20% physical purity.
Correct.
20% physical purity can't be used to generate electricity. So why did they create 20% physical purity when it can't be used to create electricity?
For bombs, for atomic.
Of course, of course. You know what's interesting, too, is that while you need 90% physical purity to make a bomb, that it's not linear. To get from 4% physical purity to 20 is 80% of the time and energy that is required to get it from 20 to 90. From 20 to 90 is a very easy and short process. That's why everyone knows that the Iranians are within a year of having a bomb at any moment. And does this agreement that the Obaminator made with Iran, does it require Iran to give up any of its existing 20% fissile purity uranium?
No.
No. Doesn't.
No. All they're doing is delaying it for 10 years. Why
okay.
10 years?
So this is a 10-year agreement. At the end of the 10-year agreement, they'll be they're 1 year away from having their arsenal of atomic bombs, correct?
Correct.
If they don't
cheat.
All right. Okay. I would ask you this series of questions here. Are you aware that of the year that Yahweh fulfilled Pesach B'Kodem, Matzah B'Kodem, and Shabuah? The Christians would call it the year that their Jesus was crucified. You know what year that was on our calendar?
No.
It was 33 CE on the pagan calendar. It's year 4000, 33 CE. 40 is the period of a time of testing. Yobel is the years of our freedom and redemption and release from captivity. 40 times 50. 2000, right? All right.
Yeah.
It was 2,000 years before Yosef fulfilled Pesach B'Kodem, Matzah B'Kodem in Shavuot in 33 CE that Abraham affirmed the covenant with Yahweh in 967 BCE. 33 CE, exactly 2,000 years later on exactly the same mountain, celebrating the exact same event, Yahweh fulfills those promises. What's 2,000 years plus 33 CE?
2033.
All right. When we return to Shattering Myths, I'm going to ask you a couple of more dates. I'm going to talk to you about the length of the time of the tribulation. We'll subtract it from 33 CE. And then we're going to add the 10 years of this agreement plus 1 year to 2015 and see where we come. The Shattering Myths Revenant Conversation with IQ Arvatsuli. And then this will eventually tie in to the 10 plus 1 of the Iranian nuclear deal. IQ, you're reasonably well read. Have you ever read the prophet Daniel?
Yes.
And you're aware that Daniel predicted he was a viceroy in Babylon, and right around 550 BCE. Do you know that that he predicted the future of the world? He told about the rise and the fall of every major civilization, and specifically he talked about how Rome would be the most menacing empire in human history, the most deadly, the most menacing overall, but that Rome wouldn't die, that Rome would be would emerge as a institution that would plague humanity through the end of days. And so, what grew out of Imperial Rome?
Western civilization.
The Roman Catholic Church.
I apologize.
Yeah, Roman Catholic Church. As a matter of fact, it was Theodosius as at the helm that imposed the feudal system that plagued Europe for 1,000 years. That very system that made the clerics masters and lords over the people. And unified cleric and king was the brainchild of Theodosius, the Roman Empire emperor, after Western Rome had fallen and only the Eastern Roman Empire remained. Daniel also predicted to the day, 4 days before Passover in what we would call 33 CE, when the Passover lamb is supposed to walk into the home, that Yosha would come out of Bethlehem into Jerusalem 4 days before Passover in 33 CE. And he predicted that 550 years in advance to the specific day. And that's exactly in 33 CE when Yosha walked into Jerusalem 4 days before Passover to become the Passover lamb. And at 40 Obel, 2,000 years from 33 CE, you've answered the question. It's 2033. Do you know how long Daniel says the tribulation is going to be?
No. You're the master of the subject.
Okay. 7 years. Now you've heard, I'm sure, Christians talk about a 7-year tribulation. They're getting it from Daniel. 7 years. What's 2033 minus 7?
240. 2040.
No. Minus.
Oh, minus 7.
Minus. Tribulation's got to last 7 years, and that's when 2033 is when Yah was returning. So what's 2033 minus 7?
2026.
2026. Okay, what year is it today, this year?
2015.
Okay, and how long is the Abominators deal with Iran supposed to last?
Till 2025.
All right. And how long after that will it take Iran to complete their nuclear bombs?
By 2026.
We came to the same number, didn't we?
Correct. Interesting.
Yeah. Do you know that the prophet Isaiah, actually it's Yahweh speaking in first person through the prophet Isaiah, tells us that the tribulation will begin right after greater Syria is destroyed by Muslims?
Well, it is destroyed by Muslims.
Yeah, except Yahweh actually says it's not only does the government of Greater Syria fall, but in addition to that, Damascus becomes a heap of ruins. Damascus is not yet a heap of ruins. All the cities around it are a heap of ruins, but Damascus is not yet a heap of ruins, is it?
It will be.
It will be, won't it? But Yahweh specifically, this is Isaiah 17, tells us that the tribulation, the path to the tribulation begins with Muslims, those who submit in Yahweh's terminology, the same terminology that Muslims use, using terror tactics, will destroy greater Syria and ultimately render Damascus a heap of ruins. And after that happens, that Israel will be thinned at the waist. If the Abominator and his ilk have their way, and Israel gives up the West Bank. Do you know how wide Israel will be where 70% of the population lives?
Just within 7 to 9 miles from death and destruction.
Correct. That on either side. That's being thinned at the waist. That's precisely the terms that Yahweh used. And then he said right after that occurs, Muslims will flood into Israel in such a torrid of just he uses the term flood over and over and over again. A tidal wave of Muslims will flood into Israel, and that begins the Magog War, which is World War III.
Well, all of that looks like we're heading there.
Yeah, boy, aren't we ever. Yeah, God doesn't miss a trick. And the date that begins is 2026, when you work backwards from the timeline that he gave us. Boy. It's pretty stunning. We're looking at future history in the making, aren't we? And it's inevitable at this point.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
That is on the assumption that the Iranians will stick to the 10-year period. I am on the different assumption.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they will follow Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad had the Hudna at Hudaybiyah for 10 years.
Yeah.
He destroyed the Kaaba and destroyed all his enemies in Mecca 2 years later.
Yeah.
So we might be wrong by a few years.
Well, you know, I don't. Well, first of all, Yahweh won't be wrong, but is it possible and likely that the Iranians will cheat on that deal, and once they recover their $150 billion in frozen assets, will renege on the deal and secretly start building their bomb capability again? I would say the likelihood of that IQ is probably 99%.
Okay, but let's not say that God is wrong. Let's say our calculations, time-wise, are wrong.
Neither are wrong.
Okay.
They're going to cheat. They're going to have an
argument. The question is, they started cheating a long time ago, and they continue cheating while they're talking.
Right. They're going to have their bombs in advance of this date.
No.
It's just they're just not going to use them in advance of the date.
Okay.
But they'll have them. But them having the bombs in advance of the date is actually worse than the scenario. And the reason it's worse is, what has Saudi Arabia said they're going to do as a result of the abominators acquiescing to the and legitimizing the Iranian nuclear process?
They are going to have their own atomic bombs. There's no question they will do it. They've said it.
Right. They've said it outright.
Yeah.
So now you're going to have Sunni and Shia Muslims, the largest Sunni and the largest Shia Muslim nations, both with, in terms of largest, by militarily largest, both armed with nuclear bombs, both playing a game to the death, both celebrating death.
Yeah, but Egypt also wants atomic bombs now.
Do you know what the abominator did to Egypt this week relative to weapons?
They sent them arms.
Yeah. The arms embargo that had been put on Egypt after the military coup, which is draconian. I mean, it's vastly worse than Mubarak's dictatorship ever was. The abominator lifted the arms embargo. So he's got an arms embargo on Israel because he doesn't like Netanyahu, doesn't like Jews. But he lifted the arms embargo on Egypt.
Yeah. He again retracted, or he had a red line which became pink and then became yellow.
Yeah. You know, it's also interesting in what Yahweh says that was going to happen here. He actually says that that Jordan is simply going to be abused on the way that Jordan won't be a participant in the destruction of Israel, because Muslims themselves are going to trample Jordan to death. Remember, I told you that that I thought that the next target of the Islamic State was going to be these mythical people known as the Palestinians, and they would go into their refugee camps. Do you know what the Islamic State did 3 days ago relative to?
They went into one of the refugee camps.
Right. And who did they war against in that refugee camp?
Palestinians.
Yeah, the PLO.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they fought the PLO to control these people that are misnamed Palestinians. You know why? They're going to arm them, and they're going to use them then to invade Jordan.
Correct.
And in Jordan, they're going to arm the mythical people known as Palestinians, which make up the majority of the population of Jordan, and they're going to arm them too. And what do you think they're going to arm them to do?
I leave it to anybody's imagination if they have any.
Yeah. You know, what do Muslims do when they're armed to the teeth and they have the ability?
They kill other people who are not Muslim.
Right. And they kill all Muslims who aren't as Islamic as they are.
Correct. You know, why are our guardian security people arresting Muslim men and women who want to join ISIS? Every time I hear or read an article by a so-called expert...
Yeah, I want to scream.
Remember. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I know. I just want to scream. There is nothing that shows our stupidity more than that.
Absolutely.
Aren't we, when a Muslim wants to, and we're doing in every country in Europe, and every country, and the United States, and Canada, are all doing the same thing. They are tracking Muslims who are desirous of leaving the European and North American continent to go fight in Syria with the Islamic State, and they're arresting them and imprisoning them. Why would you do that?
No, some of them, they're not even imprisoning them. In Australia, they're not imprisoning them. In England, they're not imprisoning them.
They're just stopping them from going?
This is remarkable. Yeah. Those people who are so dedicated that they wanted to die, They are staying in Europe free to kill other people.
So you have a suicide bomber in waiting. And rather than sending them off to Syria, which is where they want to go to become a jihadist, you're keeping them in your country where their targets will be your fellow citizens.
It's insane.
It is insane.
Yeah, it is totally, utterly insane. And these are the people who are supposed to be our guardians. These are the people who are supposed to be defending us. Good God.
Yeah, good God. Yeah, we are keeping him here. And you just want to scream. The only intelligent approach to Islam, which is a criminal enterprise, committed to death and destruction. And it's not only committed to death and destruction of non-Muslims. It's committed to the death and destruction of Muslims.
Yes. Not only destruction of human beings, but the destruction of everything, all archaeological artifacts from the last 1,000, 7,000 years of history. They're destroying it. They're destroying everything that humanity created in the last 7,000 years. And nobody is saying anything. Everybody is worried about the Palestinian rights and the Palestinian state. Everybody.
Right. And it's just a matter of time before Hamas aligns itself with the Islamic State and the PLO is done in by the Islamic State.
Yeah, it's a matter of weeks.
Yeah, weeks.
Even months. It's a matter of weeks.
It's obvious. In fact, is there any difference in philosophy and tactics of the Islamic State and Hamas?
None whatsoever.
Right.
None.
And I would ask you, the Islamic State, who provided the weapons for them?
The West. America.
Yeah, primarily America, but the West.
America started in Libya's Gaddafi. Or some right. Gaddafi's Libya after they killed him.
Right.
That's why 4 Americans were killed. Right. They were smuggling weapons from Libya to ISIS and the others.
Right. As a matter of fact, in Libya, the Islamic group that killed the 4 Americans was named Ansar Sharia. What does Ansar Sharia mean?
Ansar Sharia. Ansar means the supporters of Sharia law.
Right. Yeah, the supporters of Sharia law. And you know that Ansar Sharia was they were close buds with the CIA there. They played basketball together. They played cards together because the CIA thought that they could use Ansar Sharia for intel and that they knew all of them. And so when they attacked the American embassy, the first cable that went out is we're being attacked by Ansar Sharia. Our CIA was played for fools. We were supplying them weapons for information, and they used the American weapons to kill Americans.
But they have been doing it in every single Muslim country for the last 30 years, since the fall of the Soviet Union.
So the very supplier of the weapons, which would have been the Obama administration, when those weapons are deployed by a fundamentalist Islamic organization, meaning supporters of Sharia law,
yes,
to kill Americans, goes off and blames the murder on a trailer that was part of a copped Christian's film.
Nobody.
How could you be more duplicitous?
Yeah, but nobody believes that. In the end, nobody believes the trailer. That was the reason.
Well, of course, it's not true. It's not true.
Everybody knows it's not true.
Right.
There were no demonstrations about the trailer.
No, not in Libya.
The CIA said it wasn't because of the trailer. In fact, the prime minister of Libya said it had nothing to do with the trailer.
Right. And the reason that the Abominator told the world that it did at the United Nations and the reason that Hillary Rotten Clinton did and all of her talking points to the media and in the days after is that they want to fight a war against violent extremism and they want to exonerate and uplift Islam. So they wanted to disassociate Islam from it even though they knew that everything they were saying is a lie.
Correct. And also Rice, whatever her name is, Rice.
Yes, Susan Rice.
Who
is
the United Nations. By the way, she's now in a higher position in the Obama administration than before.
Yeah. Yeah, both Rices, Condoleezza Rice and Susan Rice, are disgusting.
Yeah, well.
It was Condoleezza Rice that was part and parcel of our CIA implementing torture. And it's Susan Rice that runs the interference on behalf of Islam in the Obama administration.
Correct. And they are all the most despicable people on the planet simply because as women, Islam, when they take over, those women will be destroyed first.
Right. Oh, they're being played for fools by fools, and yet they pretend to be enlightened.
Well, I was before we were interrupted, every time I hear or read an article by so-called expert, I remember a quote by a man, gentleman called Nicholas Murray Butler. He said, an expert is one who knows more and more about less and less.
Yeah, I use the term scholar, and I say a scholar is somebody who knows a lot but understands nothing.
Correct, also. Yes. Both sides are completely and utterly useless.
Yeah, I wouldn't question the fact that that American military leaders, intelligence officers, FBI agents, the politicians, I would not question that they are stupid, that they are ignorant, that they don't know. It's just they don't understand anything. They lack understanding. And without understanding, it's very difficult to be moral or just or to even make a reasonable conclusion.
Yeah, you said it years and years ago, and I said it repeatedly also. Unless you know who your enemy is, unless you understand the mentality of your enemy, the psychology of the enemy, the belief of the enemy, you cannot destroy him.
Yeah. You know that in Washington now, at least there are about four or five talking heads of politicians who are saying that of the Obamanator and saying that his presentation of the Islamic world is so fictitious, so out of touch with reality, that all of his policies have become counterproductive.
But can you imagine four or five out of 500 leaders in Congress and both sides of the aisle is very little.
Oh, right.
It's abysmal, it's sickening, it's disgusting.
It is.
Yes.
And even those who will say that he's out of touch with the reality that the cause of all of these wars, the death, the destruction, the kidnapping, the rapes, and terrorism throughout the Islamic world, and in Nigeria and Kenya, the intrusion of Islam into the Christian world. They all use the term radical Islam. Is there a radical Quran?
There is no radical Quran, there is no militant Quran, there is no radical Muslim, no militant Muslim, no extremist Muslim, and no moderate Muslim. These words were created by the Western media, by so-called scholars of Islam, who have absolutely no bloody idea what they're talking about. Yeah. Islam is Islam.
Correct. Now, I would ask you, is an outright lie, like Obama saying that the Islamic State is not Islamic, which everyone knows is laughably stupid, is an outright lie more dangerous or a half-truth where others would say that everyone knows that the problem is radical Islam? Which one is more dangerous, the half-truth? I agree.
Yes, the half-truth.
Because the half-truth fools a much greater percentage of people, right?
Correct.
So the Abominator and his outright stupidity is not as dangerous as Bonner, for example, that says, you know, the problem is radical Islam. We need to address that.
I agree 100%. Yeah. He's not as dangerous.
Yeah.
But he's also using taqiyya. He's lying. His rotten teeth. He's lying and lying and lying. He's been lying for 7 years.
Yes. Well, Obama is just an outright, complete and utter liar. Every effect with Obama, everything he says is the antithesis of the truth. So if you're even half awake, if you're anything shy of comatose, you'll recognize that everything Obama says is untrue. But the problem really is all of the half-truthers that say that the problem is Islamic extremism, the problem is radical Islam. Because how many Muhammads were there?
Only one.
When you deal with the hadith, is there conflicting hadith, a group of a peaceful hadith, a group of violent hadith, or is all the hadith the same?
All of them are violent.
Right.
All of them the same.
Right. Is there a peaceful Quran and a violent Quran?
No, only violent Quran.
Right. Are there depictions of Allah doing anything but torturing people in hell?
And I haven't read any.
No. But you've read plenty where he's torturing people.
He was always in heaven. He was always in hell.
Right. And is there any passage in the Quran that says, you know, what you really need to do is be peaceful and tolerant and accepting of other people and live and let live and free will is important. Let people make their own choices. Is there any of that, even a hint of any part of any of that in the Quran?
If somebody can find that verse, I'll pay them $200,000.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But does the Quran, is it filled from beginning to end with orders for Muslims to fight jihad, to with all manners of weapons at their disposal, to lay in wait, to attack and to kill anyone who doesn't capitulate? An abject humility to Islam?
To ambush, yes. The word you felt is to ambush, not even to wait, to ambush. Always to ambush people who are unsuspecting, people who are civilians, people who are not military. That's why they attack civilians. That's why they kill children. That's what they do. That's what Hamas did against Israel. They were trying to destroy Israel with rocket and missiles, but Israeli technology was able to destroy all their weapons and missiles.
But aren't we told that Muhammad was this great military leader, this great general defending his people? Surely Muhammad wouldn't have attacked civilians that were defenseless, would he?
But Muhammad was never a military leader.
Ever.
He was the head of a terrorist organization. That doesn't make him a military leader.
Correct.
He never went against any military organization
to be
a military leader.
Right. No, he never once formed an army to go fight a battle against an opposing army. Never.
So how is he a military leader? I want to know.
Of the 75 raids that Muhammad led and inspired, 75 of 75 were armed attacks against civilians for a singular people purpose, to enslave the children, rape the women, and rob and kill the men.
Correct. Not a single one of them was against an organized enemy. Always civilians, always unsuspecting, always unarmed.
Always. And so what are Muslims doing today in Boko Haram, the Islamic State, Abu Shab, the lads in Somalia? Is that any different than what Muhammad did?
No, it can't be different.
Can you read the Hadith and Quran and learn what Muhammad did and predict what Muslims are going to do today?
Every time. That's why you have to study the subject.